at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. Drake May, 20 of 33 for 243 yards yesterday with three touchdowns, two interceptions, and one fumble. And you can talk about the future of the New England Patriots all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. And you can hear from Drake May this afternoon on the afternoon show. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say.
His debut, Wiggy, I believe.
Wiggy has declared that he's seen the future of the New England Patriots, and its name is Drake May. So we will talk about that with you this morning, and we'll talk about that with Gerard Mayo coming up at 9. But right now, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. Where would you like to begin, Chime?
Well, Greg, I think we begin with that New England Patriots game because C.J. Stroud spoke following the Texans' win over your New England Patriots, and he talked about what he said to Drake May after the game and kind of his advice for Drake May going forward. Here was C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I gave him a little word, you know, tried to give him a little word of encouragement. And, you know, I thought he played really solid, you know. Definitely, you know, feel like he'll get better and better as he keeps going.
What would you like to have known that when you were at his stage that you know now?
Honestly, just take completions, stay in the positive, you know, and make guys around you better. I would say those are the three things I would, you know, want to know. And I, you know, just, and it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's not easy. And, you know, he has a, you know, hopefully a team, you know, helping him. And, you know, like I did last year, I had so many guys helping me. So, you know, definitely hope that helped him what I said. But, like, those three things definitely helped me on top of just, you know, just being disciplined.
Long way to go to get there. But, Wiggy, both Williams and Daniels look like they're going to be pretty good.
Right.
You would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, they both look, you know, Caleb Williams is getting much better, and Jaden Daniels looked pretty good.
Caleb was awesome yesterday.
Yeah, so, I mean, they both look good.
You may have a quarterback class in which you can count on the first three picks
right,
well into the future being really, really good players at the position.
Yeah, and that's why I said, can you and just based off of his performance alone against a very good football team, right, and Curtis has brought this up, his mental makeup, he's not going to be somebody, in my opinion, who sees ghosts, right? He doesn't seem like he's wired that way where he's going to be mentally fragile. But when you look
he's not a douche. No, as the head of the island, it bothers me to say it, but the way in which Mac reacted on field after a mistake or throwing his hands up and blaming everybody else is not, it doesn't seem like that's what you're going to get from Drake May. So,
well, I mean, the first impression was a guy that was humbled by the game, right, honored for the opportunity, and didn't throw anybody under the bus. I would just like to just throw out there, because everybody likes to remind us that Drake May would be injured had he played since week one because of the porous offensive line. Is Jacoby Brissett out hurt?
No.
Nope.
So why would Drake May be out hurt?
Yeah, right. I don't know. That was a stupid argument. It was the stupidest low-hanging fruit. The other thing that I liked that we just heard from C.J. Stroud that we didn't really get from Caleb Williams, but we do get from Drake May, is C.J. Stroud, remember, he went up to Caleb Williams after the game to try to give him a little bit of encouragement after they – and Caleb Williams kind of gave him the cold shoulder, like, man, whatever, I ain't trying to hear that. It seems like Drake May is somebody who is very humble and wants that information, is willing to take it from guys like, you know, that have come before him. So that's going to help him as a player and his development to get better, because he'll be able to – you know, self-evaluate and self-criticize and say, I got to get better here. So I like everything about how he played yesterday, and he didn't get as many. We talk about it all the time. How many reps you think he really got in training camp?
I mean, they said 30%.
No, I'm talking about all the training camp with the ones. Like, he probably
not a lot.
Right, and so look at his performance with that type of, like, basically not getting anything. That's why I could just see his development headed in the right direction.
Well, also, he was playing with a center yesterday who was put on the roster on Wednesday.
Right.
Didn't know he was starting until Sunday.
Zero fumbled snaps, by the way. Good job by him.
Yeah. I mean, and he made all the line calls, which is pretty amazing. We'll ask Gerard Mayo about that. But I you know, it's very encouraging. I mean, I think you have to be happy. Yeah. All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's actually hear from Drake May after the game in his own words, talking about himself and the offense and what they need to do going forward.
Yeah, we just hurt ourselves today. I think that's the biggest thing. I think we put the defense in bad spots, and with how good our defense is, we can't. That's the least thing we can do. You know, we can't get them when the ball's in the red zone. Giving the other team the ball in the red zone just makes it hard on them, and it starts with me. And I think we'll just have some throws back, and especially the first interception. But after the touchdown, you feel like coming back in it, come out of halftime, and there goes another turnover in the red zone. So just kept on hurting ourselves, and in this league, these teams are too good to do that. No, but some great stuff to watch on film. Some times out there was a lot of fun on offense. And so I told the guys in the huddle at the end, man, we got the guys in the huddle. We just gotta make a few more plays and play complimentary football. That's what Coach Mayo just preached, play complimentary football. We didn't do that today.
Not a good day for the defense.
No. I told you, they're so up and down. At times they look really good, and other times they just look – and we heard the audio, Mayo, like you're giving up 60-yard runs. Like if the kid had a flag on, you wouldn't have grabbed this flag.
And it looked so easy. The Texans ran all over them, from start to finish. Right. The defense looked the worst that they've looked all season, in my opinion, yesterday. And I don't think that it was because the Texans' offense is that great. I think that we were just really, really bad.
Stroud is so good.
That's a good.
Yeah, he is a good.
I don't think that that's an excuse here. I really just think that defense looked like they just gave up.
The throws to Dell and Diggs, you're right about the rush. Run defense was awful, and that's effort. But I can't believe that we were in the suite a year ago for the preseason game where that Texans team was playing the Patriots. Mm-hmm. There's a lovely photo of Shaim Courtney and I have it on the wall, and we're enjoying free popcorn and watching this game. And to think that team, that was awful. I remember C.J. Stroud got sacked early in the preseason game. What an unbelievable job Caserio has done there, building that roster. D'Amico Ryans.
Shaim's guy.
Bobby Slowtick.
Bobby Slowick, baby. Bobby. Guy was dialing it up yesterday.
Could you imagine Shaim lathered up with a hunk of cheese watching Slowick and Drake May?
Curtis, I'm stunned I didn't gain all 50 pounds from that photo of last year back after yesterday's game.
You're getting close.
I'm actually doing quite well, thank you.
You're great.
We'll talk to Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo was not happy with the defense.
I would tell Devon Godshaw to stop worrying about everybody else and maybe make a tackle on the run game.
But he's saying that he didn't feel like they were playing with pride in that second half.
Okay, so do something about it.
Yeah. Well, but if he's like, if Courtney brought this up, but if he's feeling that way, what is it that he's seeing out there that, we as fans, we might be missing because we're not on the sidelines. We can't hear the communication. We can't hear where he, that's what
we're
I want to know.
Practice.
Yeah, so what's going on in the locker room at halftime that's making you go, well, it seems like some of these guys are, giving up?
Not playing. He didn't say giving up. I mean, the difference is tiny, but there's a difference between, guys on the Jaguars, which are saying that they gave up in that second half, as opposed to saying you're not playing with pride.
But if you're playing with pride, you're giving it your full effort the entire time. Not playing with pride, in my mind, means you're, giving it up.
Yeah,
at
that's
the end
what
of
I
it.
Mean. What does that mean? Well, give us, what are you seeing that leads you to start saying we're not playing with pride because the guy goes 60 yards on you? Well, that's probably just, poor gap discipline, poor assignment. That doesn't mean that somebody's not working hard.
Yeah, well, we will be able to ask his head coach that very question this morning at 9. All right, what else, Sean?
So I'm curious. We've had some receivers here on the New England Patriots call for the football. Another guy yesterday who wanted to basically call this shot was Kayshon Booty. He said he went up to the coach and asked for the ball. Here was Kayshon Booty post game.
I'm going into the second quarter, we didn't have the momentum from the first. couple three and outs back to back to back. So I was just like, you know, defenses start sitting on routes if we're not throwing it deep. So I went to coach and I was like, we need to take a shot. Like, I want the ball. And that was the opportunity, and it presented itself. Drake threw a great ball, great pass from him.
How do we feel about receivers constantly, it seems like, asking for the football?
As long as you can back it up, I got no issues with it.
I mean, yeah. It's
and
hard.
That's what he did.
It's hard to criticize after that play and
right.
and the result that you saw. So
no, like if you can't be Jalen Polk asking for the ball and no. then you're going
man,
out there.
Man, he couldn't catch
balls.
A balloon. Like, he can't catch anything.
Like, yeah. Same with Pop Douglas. Like, I don't – if you're going to complain, regardless –
well, that interception was not on Pop Douglas. That's
which one?
The are you talking about the fact that he didn't catch that Drake?
No. I'm saying when Pop Douglas complained about not getting the ball, then he gets an opportunity to make plays.
That was
plays
a whole different thing, though. That was Jacoby Brissett. Like,
right. All I'm saying is if you're gonna complain, regardless of the position you play, you better be able to back it up. I got no problems with guys going to the coach saying, "Hey, put me in. Let me try this. Let me do that." And I think that when you start to look at this football team, I think it's Drake May's ability as well as theirs, but to maybe make those guys rise to the occasion because he's willing to take more shots. He's willing to try to fit footballs in tighter windows that give the receivers an opportunity to make some plays.
Well, I mean, this is where you're going to need to see what Alex Van Pelt can do because, you know, you're the expert, but, I mean, these teams are basically playing man.
Yep.
On the Patriots
yep.
and saying, go ahead, you know, try, see what you can do against us.
Got to find your man yeah. beater.
Now it's going to be up to Alex Van Pelt.
Yep.
Going forward, what he can scheme up.
It's going to be like, and it was like, move the pocket. Shine brought up the RPO. You got a quarterback that's a decent runner. You know, get in the RPO. Maybe, you know, have Drake May keep it every now and then just to slow down the rush. So, yeah, it's now going to be all on Van Pelt.
The pass to conclude the first half, the pass that made us all feel that thing you feel that you mm-hmm. don't feel often with this team when something great happens and it's unexpected, is the cause of a new offensive coordinator. I said this to Ken Saturday. What you're looking for Sunday is enough plays out of Drake May that makes this coordinator position appetizing for the young, brilliant schemers that don't yet have an OC job. And what you saw from Drake May is enough, in my opinion,
to get them here.
To get a much more talented, a more coveted, sought-after coach to teach Drake May, and then in a year or two, that guy will be a head coach somewhere if you're successful,
right.
And you're fine. But Alex Van Pelt is a guy that just got his learner's permit and got a Ferrari.
But how does that happen with Elliott Wolf, you know?
What?
Is Elliott Wolf?
Well, he's going to have to. I mean, he's going to see the same thing that everybody's seeing. I mean,
right.
He's going to want to scapegoat because eventually the eyes are going to be on him. So.
Right, right.
It's his guy, though.
Right, but his guy is Drake May, and right. So if he's right about Drake May, he's got a longer runway, but the only way he loses his job is if who's ever in charge of coaching May fails him, then Elliott Wolf's out.
Yeah. All right, anything else, Shime?
Nope, that'll do it today for They Said It, Greg.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. What did you think of Drake May yesterday? I want to talk to you about that this morning. 617-779-7937. Or you can text on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. We will see or hear what Boomer Esiason thought of Drake May and his debut yesterday at 8. And then we'll get more from Gerard Mayo on a Mayo Monday with us here at Gillette at 9:20 this morning. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by the 99. The Patriots fall to the Texans 41-21. It was May Day. Drake completed 20 of 33 passes for 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions in this one. And Gerard Mayo not thrilled with the Pats' run defense. He didn't mince words. Here's what he had to say after the loss.
Defensively, I would say just the fundamentals of just tackling and our run fits have to improve. They have to improve. And I told all those guys, I said, you should feel like crap today. You should feel like crap. Take away those 2 long runs. We had 2 runs over 50 yards. I mean, it's just not winning football.
I mean, tackling's been an issue all season long.
Yeah.
That's fundamentals, Wiggy. And then penalties. They had, I mean, not as bad as last week. They had 12 against Miami, but they had 9 yesterday.
That special teams block in the back or hold when they got the ball at the 50 and all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like the 39 yards change of field.
Just a backbreaking one.
Well, I thought the, they definitely could complain about the pass interference call in the end zone.
Yeah, where the one that Gene Steratore came back after the break and was like, I don't see anything.
That ball was not catchable for that wide receiver. Like, that was, like, 5 yards away from the play. Yeah.
There was some bad, like, some of the questionable calls, but I also looked
at... They completely missed the face mask, too. Like,
That was
brutal, because the very next play was the fumble, which you wouldn't have had if they didn't miss the face mask.
Right.
Tonight, we'll see the Bills and Jets in Monday Night Football, 8:15 kickoff.
Right.
And the Bruins get a win at home over the weekend, an overtime win on Saturday over the Kings. They have a matinee matchup with the Panthers today, 1 p.m. puck drop. And we have our NLCS and ALCS matchups. NLCS has the Dodgers up 1 on the Mets. And over in the AL, the Guardians kick off their series against the Yankees in the Bronx tonight at 7:38. And cozy up to irresistible new fall favorites at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked home-style chicken pot pie packed with chicken and topped with a buttery flaky crust. Or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right, thank you, Courtney. 53 degrees, cloudy. The rain should be stopping soon. It's going to be partly cloudy with the sun peeking through this afternoon, a high in the low 60s.
That is Devon Godchow yesterday suggesting that in the third quarter there were guys who weren't playing with pride on that defense, and that is an issue, I guess, and he is... I guess if you want to look at it in a positive way, he's trying to be a leader, and back-to-back weeks or every other week, he's going to call guys out that are playing with him on that defense and suggest that you're not getting enough from them.
Yeah, so. But if I'm in that locker room, I'm like, bro, who you talking about? Because I'm out here busting my ass every play. So I think that's Courtney. You brought it up. When you say you're not playing with pride, that's like basically saying like you're giving up, you're not playing hard enough.
Right.
Like however you want to, however you basically want to say it looks like you're quitting, and whatever, adjective or that you want to use, that's what it's basically saying about your team.
And I guess different leadership ways, to each their own. But if I'm in that locker room and I'm a teammate and he's supposed to be a leader, I don't think I really respect the going to the media aspect of it. And maybe that's the Patriot way that I'm used to.
No.
And other teams are different. But I would be upset if a leader in our locker room is going out to the media now twice and talking about his teammates in that way, if I'm one of those guys.
And Courtney, I think you're right. And, I disputed it slightly earlier because it's like, maybe he's just repeating the same thing he's saying in the locker room. But if your coach is doing his job, you don't do that. Like, if the operation should be the coach motivates the players, the players, leadership players are the disciples of the coach's message and everything works well. For Godchow to do that, because I remember it was on Jones and Keefe, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like a throwaway, not a throwaway, it was an unexpected barb.
He said guys were playing selfish.
And Jones and Keefe were like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then this example, it's like, so then you're not a good leader, Devon, because, like I'd say that to his face, he could probably beat me up in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But
I doubt that.
Oh, I mean,
you
three?
You look like you can throw if you have to throw,
don't sell
Curtis.
Yourself short.
You know who I want to throw at? John, our old neighbor in Southie who moved to Beverly. James went up to his house, and he gave him a drum kit. I now have a drum kit.
Oh,
it is the worst thing anybody's ever done to me.
Oh, that's the worst gift you could ever give a kid.
God in heaven. Anyway,
age.
I was like, was I rude to you? Did I say something?
Yeah.
Anyway, I if that message is successful, if you are a good leader, and this is what we can ask, I'll ask Gerard, like, why is that such a hard name to say? Gerard, about what and why you are feeling the need to go public with the dirty laundry. Why are you not successfully getting the message?
Isn't that kind of like the culture that Gerard Mayo has created and encouraged?
Pretty much.
Maybe he doesn't object to it. I mean,
I'm sure he'll say he doesn't object to it because it doesn't make him look good if he does and it continues to happen. But
yeah.
It's not the way that you should be operating.
Check me on the sidelines.
But is he right? I mean, you look at that defense. Do you look at? Do you feel like there are guys that are not playing with pride?
See, I don't see that in it. Like, I see the guys working hard. My thing is like, check me on the sidelines or check me in the locker room. Like, you got issues with what we're doing. Let's have it out on the sidelines. I'd rather them there be pushing and shoving going on the sidelines, because at least that shows me that, okay, he's saying it to these guys right then and there.
But I mean, look at the guys on the defense and tell me who you thought had a really good game yesterday. I thought our guy Jelani Tavai had a great game yesterday.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the All-22 yet.
I don't think
anybody...
Just naked eye, Curtis. I
don't think anybody had, like, a good game when you give up the type of yards that you give up. Like, I think defensively, like, if I'm Devon Godchild, I say... We all looked horrible. We all got to play better.
I have to be better.
I got to be better. You know, the way, like, we all have to, we're better than this. Like, Mayo says, you know, you're giving up 250-plus yard runs. Like, take pride in that element of not giving up that type of touchdown.
There's got to be some truth to it, though, if Covington said it, too. So if you've got two guys that are talking to the media.
The selfish part?
Yes.
That means I could see guys just trying to do too much and get out of there.
That's different. The selfish thing is different.
Well, if you say selfish 2 weeks ago and then you're now saying that they're not playing with pride, I just think that there's a lot of issues going on when it comes to the defense.
And I would say the biggest one is Bentley's injury. I mean, if you look back to, what was that, 3 weeks ago now, where he had been in the middle of that defense, is the best linebacker you have, playing at a pretty high level. I think that's been the biggest flaw, because you're the expert, mm-hmm. Wiggy, but you're getting gashed in the run game. I mean, you lose your best linebacker. That might be a part
of it. Well, the selfish part of it, because even Jelani talked about it, is sometimes because a guy might think, oh, I'm trying to do more and make a play over here when I should be doing my job over there. They might look at that as, I'm just trying to help out. I'm trying to – no, like, so the selfish part of it, and Jelani said it, is, like, if you got the B-gap, you take the B-gap. And then you try to make a play from there. You don't go, oh, I thought I see something. Let me go to the A-gap to see if I can make this play. That's the selfish part. Like, that part, I get guys might be given effort, but they're trying to do too much. When you say the pride thing, that comes across as, like, where everybody is not giving it their all.
Yes.
So I feel like who you talking about, is that me?
All right. Patriots are 1-5 for the first time since 1995, and we will talk about that with Gerard Mayo at 9:20 this morning. This is Ray. Ray from Boston. Ray, good morning.
Morning, guys. How is everybody?
What's going on?
So I called in just to say Alex Van Pelt has to go. He is such a stale and boring coordinator. They called the most basic plays, the most basic runs right up the middle, and just got stuffed every single time, and then put Drake May out in the island, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8. There was no creativity, like no pop passes, no screens, no RPOs. Like, what are we doing here? This guy needs to get fired mid-season. We need a new coordinator now.
I agree. Yeah. I would fire him today.
Thank you.
I would say.
Is the lack of availability of Ramondre Stevenson any kind of an excuse for that?
I don't think so. I mean, no. I thought Gibson ran well. I mean, the offensive line is the biggest reason the offense stinks. It's entirely on Robert Kraft. That is a pathetic dereliction of duty to not spend on that position group. In this day in the NFL, especially when you have a guy that's the number 3 pick, you need to learn as quick as possible. That line sucks. Mm-hmm. But Alex Van Pelt is just not
creative enough.
Unimaginative.
First play of the game, don't run downhill. Come out with a quick wide receiver screen or something to maybe get the defense kind of like, whoa, wait a second, what's going on? Come out and empty, maybe quick pass. You know, quick 5-yard stick route to Hunter Henry or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if he's looking at a rookie quarterback who's yet to play any significant, legitimate matters football,
mm-hmm.
maybe you want him to hand the ball off and
get comfortable. Yeah, but the best way to get comfortable is confidence. And so why not make it nice and simple, maybe a bootleg on first down?
And don't you know if he can handle it with the reps he's getting during practice? Like, well, don't you know – but don't you know mentally he can pick up on whatever plays you want to draw up for him? Like,
no, because practice is way different than the games. Like, if it's me –
but you got to trust him at some point.
Well, but I'm saying if it's me, I'm first play of the game, maybe I use his athletic ability and I run like a quick little bootleg or something where you bring somebody across the formation. They ran one in the game. He spits it out nice and easy. He gets a little confidence in his first throw. You get the ball into one of the tight end and wide receiver's hands. You pick up about 5, 6, 7 yards, and then you can run on second down.
This is Joe from Randolph. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I guess I have a question for Wiggy, and it pertains to the poor performances on both sides of the ball. Now, do we think that it's the coaches that are unable to get the players to perform at their full potential? Or do you think it's the players who, like Bill Parcells says, these guys just can't play good football?
Thank you for the call. They don't have the talent on the football team. I mean,
Well, defensively, you know, didn't we think they did?
Well, there's a lot of injuries. I mean, that, you know, no excuse, but there's a lot of injuries on that side of the
right.
football. I mean, on the
but doesn't everybody deal with injuries?
Yeah. On the other side of the football, I mean, I you got Pop Douglas. Yeah, you got Booty. I mean,
Hunter Henry. I think it's more about scheming things up. You got the kid Gibson. Like, your offensive line is struggling, but it's about scheming things up. Their biggest issue, the Patriots' biggest issue, where they fumbled the bag on this one? When they went with that stupid plan to not just say, Drake May, get your ass in there. From day one, the week we drafted you, from minicamp to training camp, you're getting 99.9% of the reps. Get in there. We're going as far as you can take us.
Well, even if they didn't do that, when he did end up winning the battle in camp, Jerod Mayo absolutely made a mistake.
Right.
Because twofold. One, you didn't have the better player playing. And two, the message you send to the roster is you didn't have a meritocracy. The guy that played the best at the most important position was on the bench, not on the field.
Did you get new receivers in yesterday's game?
No.
Nope.
Did the passing game look better?
Much. Yep.
Yeah.
So then what the issue was...
He elevated
those guys around them. So imagine if you would have just went with your gut from day one and said, you know what, Drake? We're putting you in. Hey, you're a tough kid. You're going to get hit. You're going to make some mistakes, but you're going to learn week in and week out. Imagine where you'd be right now, right here today. I don't want to sound like, you know, the old... You know, parent who says, I told you so.
Oh, you don't like doing that.
No. But I told you so. And all those other people that bought into the sheep of, oh, he's going to get hurt.
Right.
Your Olowskis. All your other people.
Oh,
like
they're all
your
over
Bradys,
the Boston media landscape.
All the former Patriots, your Gronks.
Matt Chatham.
Don't play him until whenever. If you would have got played him, he would be in a much better position just because of the on-the-job reps that he would have been able to get. And because I know this, what did he play yesterday? It was week 6?
Yep.
Yeah.
Think about where he's going to be week 12.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got to see Drake May yesterday, and you could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Coming up at 8, we'll talk to Boomer Esiason about a controversial new location for the Super Bowl. This is what Boomer said about it.
That would suck.
We'll get to Boomer coming up at 8 on a Patriots Monday here at WEEI. Another rainy Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium talking about a Patriots loss. So there's a theme here. But Wiggy and Shime, Curtis, Courtney, I think most believe that the sun will come out tomorrow. There was a text during the break, which you're not going to like, Wiggy or Shime, 78781 text, which reads, Shime and Wiggy need to pump the brakes on the second coming of Tom Brady with Drake May. He had one good throw. Otherwise, he looked meh.
What do you mean, one good throw?
I hate to say it as the Brady whoopee. That was a better deep ball than Tom had. Honestly, that thing made it rain. I have never seen, like, that was just, because Tom was a little more effort to get him to throw the ball like that. Like, that was effortless.
I wouldn't say the second of coming of Brady, but at least that you have a decent quarterback, or it looks like he could be a decent quarterback. When you think, you know, look at Courtney. When you think of teams that she likes, you got guys like Brock Purdy or Sam Donald.
But didn't a lot of people, maybe not you, maybe definitely not Shine, but didn't a lot of people feel the same way about Mac Jones during that first
Mac season? Jones didn't have this kind of talent, though, Greg. Like, Mac Jones wasn't dropping 50-yard bombs in a bucket.
I will say, to defend Greg, there was the overtime loss to the Cowboys in his rookie season where he threw a bomb. I don't know, remember who it was to, but it was a...
Wasn't it to Kendrick Bourne down the middle?
Yep.
He looked great dueling the aforementioned Tom Brady.
Yes.
And that was like week three of that season. So, Wiggy, you're the expert. You played the game. You saw a lot of things that you liked. Did you see anything that you didn't like yesterday from Drake May? I mean, it's all... It's all flowers.
See, here's the difference.
Flowers and chocolates from you.
Yeah, I think it is, because here's the difference between him and Mac Jones. Mentally, I don't think he's a puddle like Mac Jones. Even in Mac Jones's rookie year, just some of the we talked about it, some of the flailing and, you know, body language, like, you don't get that from Drake May. So mentally, I think he's in a different mindset. And that's where I look at what I saw out of Drake May is he has all the skills. We all look and say he can throw, he can run, he's a good athlete. But then it's more about the mental part, because Bill Parcells once told me football is 90% mental, 10% physical. And when you start to look at mentally how he was able to handle starting off and struggling, like, he didn't go into the tank for the whole game.
He's composed.
Those are the little things that you start, the little moments in the game. So
how could the coach of Lawrence Taylor say the game's 90% mental, 10% physical?
Well, yeah, I mean, but you still, if you can ease, you know how many great athletes there are like LT, but they don't perform like LT.
That's true.
So, and I think the thing that you looked at, if you watch this game, taken away from this game, is just, like, It could have been, like, real bad, right? Early in the game, we could have been like, ooh, this could be a Zach Wilson game. But he didn't let that moment get to him. Going against a very good team, he was getting hit. He was getting beat up. He kept getting up. You know, he took some hard shots, and he kept moving forward and not making very poor decisions.
Yeah, I mean, it's one game in. So I just feel the need to keep. You don't have to pump the brakes, but maybe put your foot on the pedal.
But is there anything that all right, so then what did you take away that would go, if you continue to coach him right and you continue to do these things, what do you feel like, oh, he could still be bad?
Listen, he's 10 times what Jacoby Brissett was.
Right.
And I think there's a ton of potential there. I worry about... Somebody brought it up, maybe Curtis, maybe a caller. Is he going to be in a similar situation that Mac Jones was in when Matt Patricia was suddenly his offensive coordinator? Like, I mean, is
do you think Gerard Mayo's going to hire a defensive guy to coach offense?
No, but is Alex Van? Is he going to become frustrated with Alex Van?
Is he stunting his growth? That could be the case. I would just say yesterday was the first game all season where if you switched quarterbacks, Drake May have won the game. C.J. Stroud's a much better player. Nobody will dispute that. But the offensive weaponry around C.J. Stroud with an excellent offensive line, Laramie Tunsil, I was thinking that gas mask bong shot feels so long ago. But you have Tank Dell, who they're missing the leader in receiving this year in Nico Collins. They had Tank Dell and Steph Diggs. They had a great offensive line. Joe Mixon, an elite running back. If you have Drake May on that team, they may win that game. If Jacoby Brissett is the quarterback of the Texans, no shot in hell they're winning that game.
Yeah. No.
So that's why I'm asking. So I guess for the people that say pump the brakes, what did they see that would concern them? Other than I get the Alex Van Pelt thing of, you know, the coach potentially ruining you, similar to what Belichick did. Like, I'll put some of the blame on Belichick for the way he handled Mac Jones. But I don't know, is Mayo going to allow that?
No.
Is Elliott Wolf going to allow them to go, all right, we got to keep Van Pelt here just because he's my boy?
No, they got Ben McAdoo in the wings.
Yeah.
I don't get that either. Yeah. Ken's obsessed with Ben McAdoo. Why is he
so shy?
But like he's
I'm not obsessed with him, but I think he'd be, I would already think he'd be better than Alex Van Pelt.
Okay, but he shouldn't be what you're I mean, this now.
No, I'm not saying
be,
it's what I want, but
okay, Ken like talks about him like he's like Charlie Weiss on steroids. Like
no,
no thank you. He's fine. I mean, there's a reason these people are out of the NFL. They're not good at what they do. And now, finally, they can have maybe they're appetizing for better coaches.
I would just say to the people that are saying pump the brakes, it's why not give Drake his flowers right now? Because he hasn't shown us any way that he is mentally weak or he can't handle this. He hasn't given us any reason to think that he wouldn't be able to handle a change in offensive coordinator or maybe a guy that he doesn't completely agree with. He showed that he's composed and can go out there and play the game. So for people to say pump the brakes, we're not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, but at the same time, this looks like a bright spot in a very dark season.
And people that say pump the brakes in an argument are the ones that are losing it. Because if Drake May arrived yesterday and peed down his leg, fumbled a couple snaps, looked awful, they would be saying, I told you so, you don't bring him in earlier, he's not ready.
Right. Yeah. And could he make Alex Van Pelt look better? I guess like see, that
depends on the shirt.
That's kind of the issue that you always kind of wonder is like, all right, everybody's like Alex Van Pelt stinks or he's not doing well. Okay, I agree with you. All right, well then who would you get? Don't give me Bobby Slowick because you had no idea who Bobby Slowick was until somebody gave him an opportunity, right? Yeah. So who would be that young guy that you'd be potentially talking about? And is that guy instantly going to make a difference, right? If Alex Van Pelt says, I need to be more creative, I need to do some different things, can him having Drake May make him a better play caller?
I mean, he gives him more of an opportunity to draw plays that would work.
You know, so that's what I want to see as far as the growth and development of Alex Van Pelt as my offensive coordinator. Does he say, okay, I got this guy, let me see if I can start growing with him as a OC?
All right, next, we will get Boomer Esiason's thoughts on Drake May, what he saw yesterday in the New England Patriots and around the league on a Patriots Monday from Gillette Stadium here at WEEI.